let's read this, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Verse 22. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning and we read the words of Jesus, the teachings, I pray that we will be enlightened by your Spirit today, that we might apply them and live the way you have designed for us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, I want to take a moment to look at the context of Matthew chapter 25. How many love the Word of God? Amen. There is so much that we can learn from the Word of God. And Jesus, his teachings has an incredible way of getting points across so we can gain insight to how to live. Jesus had a way of telling stories and that would bring it home, that would make it understandable. The same is true with Matthew chapter 25. In fact, this was his last sermon. It begins actually in chapter 24. It's sometimes referred to, so if you hear this, you'll know what it is, the Olivet Discourse. The message is just hours before he is to be arrested, put me on trial, and then hung on a cross. These last 2 parables found in chapter 25 of this Olivet Discourse involve 2 major issues. 2 issues in the lives of those who are awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus. Church, are you awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus? Amen. He is coming back. And that's why these 2 stories that he tells is so apropos to our lives. He is yet to return, and he tells in his final message, I want you to hear 2 important stories. The first story he tells is the parable of the virgins. You've heard this, the five foolish and the five wives. Basically, the story deals with being prepared while waiting for the Lord to return. The second is called the parable of the talents. It's the one I'm going to deal with this morning. It deals with being productive and working until the Lord returns. This morning, as we look at this classical parable, I want to see it with fresh eyes today. I don't want to look at it the way maybe you've heard it preached. It's not that it was wrong. I want us to look at it with fresh eyes this morning. Because in the context of which it is set, it is important for our lives that we take hold of this. This parable is really not about money. It is about eternal perspective. Jesus uses something natural to help us understand the supernatural. He is talking about Him going away and coming again. How should we live? The parable involves that of a landowner who is going away for an extended period of time. Before his departure, he calls his servants in and he gives them various portions. To one he gives 5 talents, to another he gives 2 talents, to another he gives 1 talent. Now at this point, I want to bring some clarity to what these servants received, and I want to do my best to illustrate. If you'll grab that, Pastor Jason, and just roll it over here. A talent, you need to understand, in the Bible, was a weight of measurement. Now, it could be gold or silver or the monetary coin of the day. Some authorities and some philosophers help us understand more precisely that a talent weighed about 33 kilograms or about 75 pounds. And they tell us it could vary anywhere from 30 to 40 kilograms, which is what I'm going to try to help illustrate here. One of the things you need to understand is one received how many talents? Another one received, and the third one received 1 talent. Now, let me help illustrate this for a moment. I need a couple of fellas. All right, there they are, right there. Come on up. I just need you to take this bag off of here, and you grab the other bag. Got it? Yep, got it? All right, step out here. Now, that's got a little bit of weight in it. Now, I want you to race down the aisle. You ready? You're going to race to the front pew and back. And back. Go! And you lost because you broke your bag. No. All right, we'll pick that up later. A talent, just to give you an idea, how much is this weigh? Right there on the side. 40 pounds. I'm sorry, 40 pounds. And there's 2 of them here. That comes to about how many pounds? 80 pounds. Which 18 kilograms each bag. So that comes to about 36 kilograms. Do you understand? You got that one. Hold this one too. You're doing good. There you go. Now, I'm going to give you 1 talent. 1 talent of money. You got it? Now I want you to go and I want you to invest that. All of this, all this poundage is all money. How you doing? Aren't you glad you didn't get 5 talents? Yeah. All right. All right, you just set it there. I'll put it back on. You give these guys a great hand. Good race. We'll clean it up later. You have to get a good understanding because so many times we have read this story and we look at the man that received 1 talent and said, well, he didn't have anything to work with. Let me put it another way. In that day, they had a day's wage was called a denarii, a coin that they would receive for a day's wage. I'm going to let a penny represent that day's wage. The equivalent of what would have been in that bag as monetary value, as money, would equate to 6,000 pennies. That's not much, is it? Well, let me just for a moment quickly go back. About 70 years ago, those who earned a wage of living and you made about $35 a week, that was a pretty good wage. Go back to 2,000 years ago in the economy and you can see the value of money. Economy has changed on us. But if I took this one penny and said, this is a day's wage, let me help you understand. Each one of these jars represents, because I have 6,000 pennies here, couldn't even get them all in the jars. Each one of these jars represents 1 year's of wage. The man received about 20 years of wages. Here is a salary of 20 years worth. My point this morning when I get to the end is I don't want you to ever think that one talent that the Lord has given you is invaluable. It is incredible. It is incredibly valuable. And as we look at this morning, I want you to understand the value of what God has invested in us. It's a substantial amount of money that the man was given. Enough to get any man a foothold in the business world. He received enough talent, enough money to start a particular venture that would have benefited the master. But this one servant decided to do what? Bury it. Went and buried 80 pounds of treasure in a hole. The master, the Bible tells us, was gone for an extended period of time. We don't know the length of time. We don't know when Jesus will come back. But I'm telling you, he is coming back. While he was gone, two of the servants were working. And one of them was waiting. The workers worked and the waiter waited. The master finally, the Bible says, returned from the far country. He called for his servants for a time of reckoning. And when he began to evaluate the efforts of his servants, he found that two of his servants had invested their money. They had doubled their return. For them, there was a great reward. There's several principles we're going to learn from this, but one principle I want you to learn, one lesson I want you to get, first of all, is that God will never demand anything out of you that he has not invested in you. God will never demand something from you that he has not invested in you. Another lesson we need to learn is that people will never be equal in talent. They will never be equal in talent. To whom much is given, much is. None of us have the exact same. But another lesson is we can be found equal in effort. The one who returned or had five returned five more, and one with two who brought in two more, they were both 100% invested. The servant who is punished in this story is the one who did nothing with what he had. The servant who had been given one talent, 20 years of salary, had done nothing with it. And the Bible says he was cast into outer darkness, away from the presence of the Lord. Folks, you need to see the eternal perspective of this story. The lesson is so important for us to learn that we are not only to be prepared for the coming of the Lord, but we are to be doing something with what he has given us while we wait. Let's look at the two servants who invested what was given to them. What was it about the two servants who had invested their talents? What was it? What did they understand that the one man didn't understand? Several principles. One is character traits, such as integrity, honesty, humility, do not come by inheritance. People may inherit inanimate things such as land or estates or thrones or crowns, but in the spiritual realm of our life, in our spiritual life, it takes sacrifice. It takes desire before one can reap spiritual return. For us to gain humility, for us to gain honesty, for us to gain integrity, takes sacrifice. What if you are the investor? First of all, to be an investor, you must have something to invest. I want you, first of all, to know that God has invested something in every one of us who believe. The Word of God tells us that we have received the Holy Spirit as a part of our lives. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you and whom you have received from God? You are not your own. God would desire, He desires deeply for each and every one of us to be immersed, to be baptized, to be filled with His Spirit. Why? It is an investment in our lives. God has invested that when you said, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I believe in the cross. I believe in what Jesus did. I believe He rose again. I want you to be Lord of my life. The Holy Spirit took residence because there could only be one master. Only one. And He took mastership over your life. He moved in. And that's why He speaks to us. He talks to us. He shares with us the things of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 and 7 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Listen to verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surpassing power is from God and not from us. God has invested His power in you. Is that scary? Folks, when we begin to think that there is a God who created everything, who says, I will place my very self within you. And what have we done with it? What do we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Oh, well, Sunday, if we give Him a whole hour and a half. Do you understand the investment that God has put within you? Before anyone can make an impact on the world, they will have to have an initial investment of the Spirit into their lives. We need God's presence with us. We need the work of the cross in our lives. And we have to surrender to what He has called us to. Let me talk to you about Gideon. In a few weeks, we're going to look closer at Gideon. In fact, I have some Gideons coming to be with us who share and give. These are businessmen who invest themselves into sharing God's Word. That's why when you go to hotels, there's a Gideon Bible. In fact, we're going to be having a Gideon with us. He'll be sharing with us. And that morning, I'm going to talk about Gideon. But this morning, I just want you to know that this was a man who was in the poorest tribe of Israel. But God invested some leadership abilities into him. And God took his people to victory with Gideon leading them. Moses, we've talked about, a man who couldn't speak very well, but God invested some leadership abilities into him, and he led the children of Israel out of captivity. David was a man removed from the pastures of keeping sheep, but God invested some leadership abilities in him that caused Israel to expand their lands and their power. Other ones maybe you're not as familiar with. Amos, he was a herdsman. Remember Peter? A fisherman. Matthew, a tax collector. Oh, you remember the story of the feeding of the 5,000? Do you remember the story of a little lad, a little boy with his lunch? It didn't seem to be much, but he was willing to invest it. You see, the investor must be willing to take a risk. Investment involves sacrifice and faith. The man who was given the single talent, just one talent, didn't take the risk. He didn't even try to use what was invested to him. We, church, must be willing to take the risk and invest in the people's lives what's been placed into our lives. Acts 9 tells us of the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, a great persecutor of the church. He now has an encounter with God and he's stricken with blindness. Guess who God calls on? Ananias. God calls on a man that we know little about. The Bible doesn't say that he was a great prayer warrior. The Bible doesn't mention him being a great soul winner. The Bible doesn't tell us that he was a great preacher. The Bible just mentions he was willing to take a risk. He knew who Saul was. He was afraid, but he was willing to obey the voice of the Lord despite the fears, despite what his natural eyes saw, despite the whispering tone that's put doubt there. He took a risk, and God used Ananias. And look at his investment return. By going and obeying God, Paul the apostle, the one that Ananias lays his hands on, ends up impacting the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ in an unprecedented way because Ananias invested what was in him. As an investor, we have to be conscious, though, of the big picture. You will find that investors, they know the history of companies, history of products. They become students of history and marketing venues. They observe stock indexes. They track interest rates. They record the rate of inflation. They monitor employment statistics. Why? Because they want a feel for the big picture. Let me take you to another story. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha was busy, scurrying around, active, working in the kitchen. And there is Mary, quiet, serene, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha, preoccupied, planning, making preparations, while Mary is contemplating and meditating and taking the things Jesus is saying to heart. Martha becomes bitter, complaining, comparing. But Mary quietly treasures what she is beginning to understand. Martha was worried about preparing a meal that would give strength for a day. Mary was concerned about preparing her heart because it needed to last an eternity. What was the difference? Martha could only see for the day. Mary was looking at eternity. Mary was investing time because she was conscious of the overall scheme of things. She saw the big picture. Mary understood this from James chapter 4, verse 14. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. But Mary saw the eternal picture. Sometimes it's hard for us to see the whole picture. And that is where trust has to come into our lives. Proverbs 3, and you can probably, I want you to say it with me this morning. 3 verses 5 and 6, say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Also, the investor must understand that wealth does not occur overnight. Great men and great women of God did not become great men and great women of God in a single instant. There are things that one must endure and continue to strive for in our walk with God. I want you to listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 to 11 in the New Living Translation. It says it this way. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Verse 8, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. Verse 10. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. And verse 11. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you see the reward? But what are we doing to invest, to develop, to be productive? We must be constantly adding these values to our lives and looking for opportunities to grow in the Lord. Don't ever quit investing into your own life. For one day, God will give us a grand entrance into heaven if we do so. Lastly, the investor must be willing to make adjustments. We must be willing to withstand some criticism here on earth if you want to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The man who refuses to make adjustments in his life will eventually find his life stagnated. Let me help you with some statements this morning. That if you want to stagnate, here's how you do it. Number one, I have never done it that way before. Maybe this statement. I tried that once, but it failed. I love Edison's statement about the light bulb. 2,000 ways that he tried to make the light bulb burn. And somebody said, "You failed 2,000 times." No, he said, "I found 2,000 ways not to make a light bulb." Number three, how about this statement? It won't work. How about fourth statement? That's not my responsibility. Five. It can't be done. Number six should say this: it's not my fault. And number seven, I might fail. Folks, if you want to stagnate, you keep saying these things. But if you want to grow, I'm asking you to invest yourself. We must realize that as we invest our lives for the kingdom's purpose, there might be some tough times along the way. Everything may not be a gaining point. But however, being consistent, diligently planning, and following through will gain the necessary foothold over the course of time. Every prayer that you pray will be answered, but maybe not the way you intended. Every time you fast, it may not always bring the desired effect that you wanted, but I want you to know heaven is overwatching you and He knows what you're doing. The question is, what has God invested in you? First of all, you need to know He has given you Himself. He has placed His life-giving Spirit within you. Secondly, God has invested years of training and mentoring into your life. Whether it's been through Sunday school, sermons, teachings, prayer times, worship times, fellowship times, supplying and providing for you when you didn't even notice, watching over you, protecting you, leading you. Think about the many things that God has invested in you. Then ask yourself, what am I doing with it? In some of you, God has invested 2, 5, or even more talents. Abilities, strengths, aptitude, cleverness, capacity, competence, skills, gifts, dexterity, power, agility, just different types of bits so you can do different types of things. Some of you don't think you've received very much. Let me remind you, God's value for your life may not be, you may not see clearly the value He's placed. You say, I've only received 1 talent. What can I do with 1 talent? You know what your problem is? You're seeing it from your perspective and not God's. Who was it that invested in Billy Graham? Who was it that spoke to some of the great men of our age who have been great preachers and proclaimers of truth? For me, it was Sunday school teachers. If it wasn't for those Sunday school teachers early on in my life, I don't know if I'd have these classic stories. Thank God for those Sunday school teachers. Oh, I went to small church. 20 of us showed up. Then my mom and dad had this bright idea that we would go launch a new church. All 4 of us. But Mama would come back and she'd teach the Sunday school. She invested. Why? Because she saw what the Lord had put in her. And it was valuable. Folks, I don't want you to ever think anything the Lord has put into you is worth nothing. It is worth more than you could ever imagine. He's God. You say, well, we got 1 talent. Then do your 1 talent and do it with diligence. Pour it out with all of your might. Don't bury it. What is the value of 1 soul? 1 soul. Maybe your talent. Do we need people? I need people to teach. The Bible tells me that some of you have been given the ability to teach. Maybe it's teaching nursery. Maybe it's teaching my elementary or my youth or my adults. But God has put within you teaching. Some of you have been called to serve. And know what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12? That you need to serve. Some of you have been called to lead. It's time to step up and lead. People have been asking me, I've been here 3 years. Folks, I'm about releasing the body into ministry. I need you to step up and I need you to lead. Don't wait for all the pastors to do it all. We are called here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Why? So that the body can be built up, so it can fulfill what God has called it to do. I'm here. I'm telling you, you got leadership. Step up and I'll release you. What about if you've got gifts of mercy? The Bible says to comfort others with the same comfort you've received from the Lord. What He's invested in you, pour it out again and again. Some of you have been given a gift of generosity. Now you know why I couldn't preach this message before. The offering for the pastors. Some of you have been given that gift. It isn't always monetarily. It is generously giving of what you have. Folks, the Lord has given us an opportunity. Let me throw some pictures up for you. This past week, we went back down to the Detroit Public Schools. I took along with me Pastor Matt and Pastor Jason. We are starting a program in this school, Detroit Public School. They have merged three schools together, K through 8, with 751 students. And we are starting a program called I Thrive. We are stepping in there, and this week they are registering for what we're about to offer. I don't know how many kids will sign up, but we are offering what we have. Why? Because we're seizing the opportunity. This iThrive program will take place at Carlisle Stewart, I can't even read that, K through 8 Learning Academy. That might sound deceiving as though it's a charter school, but it's not. It is a Detroit public school. It is 100% African American. I'm like, God, you called me? Lord, can't you see color? And the Lord never looks that way. And we can't either. God cares about people. And it's like the man from Macedonia saying, come over here. Come over here. We have received the call. We are seizing the vision to go where the Lord is calling us. This is the side of the building. One more is the front of the building. In this school, we'll be having 2 days a week from 3:15 to 5 o'clock, two times that we are doing Bible-based character training into kids' lives. These kids, I pray, will grow up to be great moms and dads. Well, what about their moms and dads today? Sometimes a little child leads them. Folks, we have to seize it. I go, I don't have much, God. I don't know what to do. And people have been asking, what are you going to do, Pastor? Honestly, I have no earthly idea. We are stepping in there, and I'm doing it by faith. I don't know what problems we may encounter. But I'm willing to take the risk. And invest what God has put into us. One thing, a life-giving spirit. Amen? I'll invest it. I'm not going to bury it here in Northville and say, let's just keep gathering here. Let's just meet in these walls and that's enough, folks. I'm telling you, God has invested you in your community. He has placed you in the home that you're in, whether it's been 2 years or 20 years. He has placed you there because He loves your community. Don't ever think the value of where you've been placed is worth nothing. It is valuable. You've been invested into you years after years of teaching and training and telling you, let's go, let's do it. I'm telling you again, let's go, let's do it. Pastor Mitchell used to stand here, Sister Lydia, and he used to tell this church, we've got to win the lost. We've got to go tell them Jesus lives. He died for you. He rose again. And if you'll believe in him, you'll be saved. It's that simple. You say, well, Pastor, you do it with enthusiasm because I believe it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And Sister Lydia, as you sit there this morning, representing years of ministry in this church, and the Snamans that sit there, and the Betchers, and the other families that are part of historically being here, it is time to revive again what God has put and invested in our lives. Do I want to pay the debt off in this church? You bet I do. Why? Because we can do more ministry. And I don't know, but I'm believing that God's going to help us with that. You know, we're plowing away. We're 7.5 years from this debt being paid off. Hallelujah. But I want God to go faster if he can. He can. Folks, I want to take what's been invested. Don't ever read this parable again with getting locked into money. It had nothing to do with money. Hear the end of the story. Matthew 25:23. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. We're talking about the end of time. Because remember the one talent, hid it. You know where he ended up? In hell. Where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. God isn't looking for you to enter heaven and say, Lord, look what I've achieved. Lord, I'm bringing it all in to you. Like this means anything to God? It wasn't about money. It was about being productive with your life. Be prepared. Be productive. Pastor Matt, would you come? Church, I'm sorry if I hollered at you this morning. I love you. But I do not want the church of the living God to be a dead church. I do not want to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. For that has been invested in us. Life-giving Spirit. People around you all day. This week I had the opportunity. One of my waitresses that was serving me. We prayed for her over the meal. When she came back by, she wasn't near. But I just told her, I said, I want you to know we prayed for you today. Oh, I saw her just kind of light up. As I was leaving, I noticed that she just made kind of an extra effort to greet me on my way out. Folks, people need you to pray for them. In fact, you can ask their need. I'm not trying to start a new method. I'm just telling you what the Lord has put in my heart to do at times. Pray. And then, don't be ashamed. Amen? I want us to close this morning. And we made a mess up here. How many like messes? We'll get it cleaned up. But as I look at this, I didn't plan this at all. But here it is, salt. You, just like this, wherever you go, I could make a bigger mess and pull that thing out. But I want you to, I'm going to do it. Who cares? So wherever you go, you salt. For you are the salt of the earth. Wherever I walk, may I flavor people's lives with the presence of God. Folks, we have got to do what He's asked us to do. Whether five, whether two, whether one. Make a 100% investment of your life. That's what He asked. So turn your eyes upon Jesus, the full in His wonderful face, and the things of this whole earth will grow strangely dim. How? In the light of His glory and grace. Father, this morning, I lift every one of these believers before You. In the balcony, on this main floor, throughout this building, wherever they are. God, our children, those little ones in the nursery, those that are toddlers crawling around. God, I pray that You would come. And Lord, as we invest our lives in each other, and then God, as we invest our lives in our community, God, that You would receive the glory and the honor due Your name. Lord, because we are a church who lifts up the cross of Christ, God, You said You would draw men unto Yourself. Lord, use us, I pray. And Lord, may we see 100% invested and 100% returned as we invest our lives. We give You thanks, Lord, for what You've already put in. And Lord, help us never ever bury, never ever miscount the value of what You put in us. But may we use it and not be lazy, not be wicked. But Lord, that we will hear from You one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter to the Master's happiness. Thank You, Lord. Amen. You need to know it's not about success. It's about faithful. Amen. Will you go with the strength of the Lord? I pronounce over you the power of the name of Jesus is with you this week. His Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you as you call upon Him. He will lead you in paths of righteousness this week for His glory. He will strengthen you when you're weak. He will heal you when you're sick. He will provide for you. He is your everything. He is your peace this week. Go in the power and in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you.